doing here on the world, in the mission field, making things happen. And every time that we share, and every time that you give every week, a portion of that is going to the supporting of the missionaries. We are on December the 16th, we are going to take up what is known as a Light of Moon Christmas offering, and that goes specifically to our foreign missionaries overseas. So that's something that we are doing. It's kind of an interesting scripture this morning that we are reading, and I believe we could quote it. So therefore, in your Bibles, I'll just read it for you very quickly. It says, "You shall not murder." You shall not murder. It kind of reminds me of what Ruth Graham, somebody asked her and said, with Billy, because he was gone so much. She said, "Did you ever consider a divorce with Billy because he was gone so much?" She said, "Oh no, murder, yes. Divorce, no." And so, you know, kind of thinking about life in general. We're going to look at it. You shall not murder. And you say, is that a Christmas sermon? Oh, you're going to find out. Yes, there's some very important pieces in there. But in survival, as we're looking at the scriptures, we're going through the Ten Commandments. I want us to be mindful, thou shalt not murder. If I took the Hebrew term, in the Hebrew term, murder, it's in the cow form, it says to murder, to slay, to kill, reshak, which means to murder or means premeditated, accidental, as avenger, or slayer. Now, that's the word study that we are beginning to look at. Let me give you some word pictures. You shall not murder, according to Exodus 20:13, Numbers 35:27, and the avenger of blood finds himself outside of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. Deuteronomy 4:42, the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally, without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities, he might live. Deuteronomy 5:17, you shall not murder. So what are you looking at? We're looking at a term, we're looking at the word murder, and we're going to see the implication and how it affects me. Well, the crime, if we took the word murder in our English language, we would think about it, it is something very difficult or dangerous, something outrageous or blameworthy, such as the crime of unwittingly killing a person, especially with malice aforethought. Illustrations, and just bear with me a little bit. She was accused of murder, the mass murder of civilians in wartime, a string of unresolved murders, or traffic murder in that day. Now, key word that we're focusing on right here, some synonyms of it: agony, Gehenna, horror, misery, hell, nightmare, torment, torture. But the antonym in the English language, okay, this is fun for me. What would be the opposite of murder in the English language? Do what? Life or living? Birth? Look it up in the Webster's dictionary. The antonym is paradise. That's heaven. And that it was kind of amazing to me that in our world in which we're thinking about something so different. Well, I'd just like to pick up on that just a little bit, but I want to give you some horrible pictures right here, because I am going to carry you something much brighter. Please bear with me. But we talked about in the Hebrew term, we talk about the manslayer, the avenger. I read this morning out of the New York Times, and it had this picture of a young woman named Gul Mina. And she was alive after her brother had taken an axe to her 15 times as a honor killing, because she and another man left, and they went and lived running out. They had both had been married. They ran and lived off together. And so therefore pressure was put upon her family saying, if you don't go and do something about this, we are going to kill your family. So the family sent the son to kill this woman's, the man she was living with, and their own daughter. And they called it honor killing. In India, that was today, but in India on May 8th, 2010, five people from Delhi were arrested to the death of the horror killing of a couple, which was reported that a couple wanted to get married. And because it was not a part of their caste system, they were tied up, beaten with bars, then electrocuted. And they called it honor killing. So there's so much of what's going on that people don't really recognize and see what giving of life and the respect and the sanctity of life is all about. This is going on in the world in which we live in. It's not so far from where we live if you push the button. But I like it when Dr. Adrian Rogers said, life is God's wonderful gift to us. Since He is the author of life, He also gets to set the rules by which it is to be lived. I believe God established the sanctity of human life the moment He created Adam and Eve in His image. And you go back and you see when Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and the first murder that took place was what? Cain killed his brother Abel. And God held him responsible. And then if you fast forward it just a little bit into Genesis chapter 9, that was Genesis chapter 4, at verse 8 through 12. But in Genesis 9, verse 6, it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man." So God was very strict inside of His Word. If you take a man's life, then your life is going to be taken. Now we've got to get a couple of things clear right here. Because we have those who like to push the envelope. We have those that try to break away and say, "Thou shalt not murder," and they push it into different categories. For instance, the group that broke into a research category, and they let the rats free, the mice free, because in that research category, they were using these mice in seeking to find a discovery of cancer. And so therefore, what they did, they said, "Oh, don't kill the mice." That's not what this verse is talking about. And so we've got to break in inside of this and begin to... And also, secondly, when we talk about capital punishment... Capital punishment has been ordained as a way, a method of means by God in the Old Testament. And so therefore, if you take a man's life, then the scriptural principle is this. Justice means take that man's life. And so therefore, as old as the scripture is itself, capital punishment has been around. Now, capital punishment don't get it confused with the so-called honor killings. That's murder. That's not justice. That's not what God had intended. So looking at this, we need to teach our children about the sanctity of life. Now, how does that begin to develop? First of all, we got to see the great giver of life. The great giver of life is none other than God Himself. God is the giver of life. And there's three areas in which you want to recognize. The first area is that of physical life. In other words, man is in the image of God. We don't need this bunch of monkey business. You know what I'm talking about? That you came from some marsupial soup? Once I was a tadpole. Beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a bunion tree. And now I am a professor with a PhD. Okay, that's what I call the monkey business. God created man in His own image. Secondly, there is a spiritual life. God is the giver of physical life. God is also the giver of spiritual life. God, Jesus Christ is the way. And today we need to live life to its fullest. God gave us spiritual life so that when you walk outside, you can experience the presence of God. When you see the beautiful sun, you can say, "God did that." When you hear that song that just opens up your heart, that music was from God. Spiritually connected. When you get out there and you work with your hands and God just floods something inside of you because you're serving God, God gave me the strength and God gave me that opportunity. So you see, we can experience God in many different ways. Through song, through music, through prayer, through worship, through going off and getting a good book and reading a good book, you can experience God. You can experience God by getting in the group of people right here and reading and talking in small group. Man, you can experience God. And let me tell you, God speaks to people many times differently. In our small group this morning, we read a long passage of Scripture. And I said, well, what did y'all hear? And there was either four or five answers given. And every one of them was different. Same group, same Scripture. Four people heard something totally different. And it was all of God. You can experience something spiritual in your life. Thirdly, is that of eternal life. We've got quality life and quantity life. God wants us to recognize, live for eternity. Boy, Heidi, hey, Christy, you're going to die. Did you know that? Yeah, you're going to die. But do you want to have quality life? Yeah, do you want to live forever? Yeah, Jesus is the way. That's what we experience. You see, we think about the physical life. We think about the spiritual life, and we think about eternal life, because God is the great giver of life. Secondly, the great destroyer of life. I want you to recognize who that is. Fact, it's not a secret. Who is he? Satan. Satan is the destroyer of life. In John 10:10, the Scripture says that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, when you walk with God, you know what you're walking with? You're walking with life. But do you ever feel like God says, okay, I'm going to live my life. God says, go this way. And what happens if I go backwards? Anybody know? All right. What is the word life spelled backwards? Evil. Can you imagine that? What does God want you? God wants you to go straight. Oh, you got a choice. If you go backwards, that's what? Now, let's just figure it out. Now, if you're going to live your life a long time, how are you going to live? You want to live for Christ, right? But what if you lived backwards? Who did you follow? The devil. Spell it backwards. Isn't that kind of weird? If you go backwards, what's going to happen? You're going to follow the wrong leader. If you go backwards, what's going to happen? Evil. God wants you to have life. And so therefore, what he's teaching us something very special right here. The great destroyer of life. Hey, that's Satan himself. But thirdly, I want you to see the great protector of life. Inside of the great protector of life is somebody that loves us so much. And the great protector of life is this. Home is to be an incubator of life. Y'all know what incubator means? Okay. You got a chicken, right? And you take this old chicken and this rooster out there, he's crowing all over during the day, and he's getting all excited, and then at night, all of a sudden, this chicken, and then they have an egg. What do you do with that egg? You eat it. Life's over with for you, buddy. But if you take that egg and you put it in an incubator, you know what that does? That incubator is a warm light. And so therefore, you put that warm light over that egg. After so many days, all of a sudden, you see a little crack in the egg. And all of a sudden, this little baby chick nose sticks out. Its beak sticks out. That's called an incubator. Something warm, something comforting, something in the course of life that brings more life. Inside of us, God wants to bring more life. Now, it is the Father's responsibility to protect that life. Let me give you a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. When you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet. In other words, that is a low protective wall for your roof. that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. So they said, if you build a house around the top of it where you're going to be walking out, build a little wall so the kids don't fall off. When they start playing around, they don't trip, and you know, it's all over with. And so therefore, he's teaching us a very important thing. He says, dads, in your home, in this incubation of what is good, you need to build some walls and protect your children. And then we gather some of the areas in which we got to have protection from. One is intentional murder. Hey, intentional murder, all I have to use the word Columbine, and the word Columbine comes up into your mind, and all of a sudden you see crazy taking of life for no reason. Intentional death. A guy goes into a postal service and he goes ballistic and he starts taking life intentionally. Intentional murder. A guy goes to a shopping center and he starts unloading guns. Intentional murder. God says, thou shalt not. We need to build protection in our home against intentional murder. Secondly, against suicide. Taking of life belongs to God. God provides a way out. Never is it God's will for somebody to commit suicide. And dad, you need to teach your children this, that it's not God's way for suicide. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above, beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God says, I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you a way to deal with it. So it's never God's plan for man to commit suicide. Now, somebody may ask the question, could a Christian commit suicide in a moment of despondency and mental derangement? The answer is yes. It can happen. But it is never the answer that God approves of. Because God has a better way, and life and death belongs into the hands of God and not into the role of suicide. Suicide is not of God. Dad, we've got to teach our children. We've got to build a wall around that house, that the sanctity of life, that life is so important. Life is so meaningful to God. God says your life is special because you were created in my image, in the image of God. He says, I've got something beautiful, something special from you. But then that 18-year-old boy, when I was down in Stark, Florida, he said, it's all over with. And when he destroyed his life, he destroyed the life of his parents. And I watched these two people who love each other begin just to fall apart. It's never God's plan for suicide. Never. Thirdly, there's abortion. In January the 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court had a decision, 7-2, decision legalizing the murder of unborn babies. So therefore, 2008, 1.2 million a year, 3,288 per day, graves without tombstones. It was never God's plan for abortion. And so therefore, we must understand it. And I thought it was kind of interesting that the most dangerous place in the United States is in the womb of a mother. And our president, on 11/22, our president pardoned a turkey. Can you imagine that? Oh yes, it was with laughter and it was all that turkey had another year to live. He pardoned the turkey. It's kind of interesting to me. It was from when I took this article right here. It was from one of those activists who said, who's going to pardon Obama from eating a turkey that was murdered? Well, I would suggest, who is going to pardon our president from 1.2 million graves, non-detected. Six workers at Butterball Turkey Farm in North Carolina faced criminal charges after undercover video revealed an animal abuse. The state who tipped off Butterball before the police raid on the farm has pled guilty of obstruction to justice. Six men having a jail term because they kicked a turkey. Can you imagine that? I read one article where there was up in New Jersey, there was a woman who was charged, I believe it was a woman, who was charged $1,200 or time in jail because there was a rat that was eating, a rat that was eating the tomatoes, and the guy caught the rat in a newspaper and beat it to death. Can you imagine that? That people were being because of the cruelty of killing a rat. Listen, folks, I'm guilty. That rat comes out, but if I can get him, I'm going to be as cruel as I can. He's going to be a dead rat. Okay, all right, I'm on record, kill the rats. All right, but anyhow, what's going on? People get all excited about killing a rat, killing a turkey, when an unborn baby and nobody standing up. Teach your children the sanctity of life. Teach your children about cruelty. Children and husbands and wives experience near death because of cruelty that goes home inside of homes. There can be cruelty. There can be physical abuse. There can be mental abuse. There can be social abuse. There can be sexual abuse. Inside, there can be cruelty inside of a home that, oh no, it may not kill them at first. But have you ever heard of the Chinese water torture? Have you ever heard of that? Chinese water torture is this. They take a person and they bind them up. They take a big reservoir of water and they let it drop, one drop at the time. And over a period of time, that one drop at the time, that person gets so full of that literally their nervous system explodes. One drop at the time. You see, in dealing with cruelty in homes, it may not be that one word, but over a period of time, cruelty takes its toll. Dads, we need to teach our children. We need to protect them. And then there's death-dealing business, such as selling of whiskey. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness." If you want to protect your children, what you might ought to do is to take some of your children sometime to the emergency room and let them see the carnage that comes in as a result of drunken drivers. Let them see it first hand, so that they understand that this is not something that you should do. Number six, there's anger and hatred. The scripture says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." What? That's right. If you hate your brother, hatred and the love of God is not going to dwell in the same place. If you've got hatred in your brother, then folks, you better get it out. Because in the course of time, it will literally destroy you. Hatred. Have you seen it? I've seen it. I know some people who were mistreated back when they were 16 years old. 70 years later, it's still eating away at them. Hatred. Christians cannot have hatred and love in the same body. You got to make a choice. You're either going to love God and go and live, but if you don't live, you know what it's going to be? Evil. Now, how are we going to deal with this? We got the negative stuff out of the way. Let's protect our children. Number four is protecting our children begins with eternal life. Jesus gives life. And what He wants you to do, home is to be a first responder of salvation. Home is a place where the souls of men need to be saved. Home is a place where women, boys, and girls, they need to experience life in a very great way. Insomuch that we were reading in our small group this morning how that a woman can literally lead people to the Lord by just being respecting her of her husband and the way she lives in her home. That's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus said in John 3:3, He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Therefore, if you're going to protect your children, sir, ma'am, you better build a ramp. You better build a wall. And inside of that wall, your children need to be saved. If they're not saved, folks, they're in for danger. Take it seriously. Wait a minute, I'm not a preacher. Take it seriously. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Take it seriously. All I am is a dad. That's all you need. A dad with Jesus can lead that child to Jesus. A mom with Jesus can lead that child to Jesus. Because Jesus is inside and Jesus needs to be in their heart. Now, how are you going to do this? How are you going to take this thing together? How are you going to bring all of this? And I think in our bulletin, we've given you some very special ways in which you can see it. In fact, as I look at it, turning commandments into commitments. How can I do this? Let's make it practical. And then I'm going to give you three illustrations and we're going to go home. But I'm not near there yet, so don't get excited. Okay? How can you do this from 0 to 6 in your bulletin? Pray for your children's safety. Make an early commitment that you will not allow your children to be absorbed in hours of violence on TV. Folks, it's getting worse. And so therefore there needs to be some limitations set because you love. Tell your children how special they are and how valuable and unique their life is. Man, they're in the image of God. They're special. Help your kids to understand the value of life. And then when they get a little bit older, make it a family rule that no one goes to bed angry. Woo, boy, that's going to keep some late night hours, isn't it? No one goes to bed angry. You work that out. Teach your children to link anger and violence so that you have no problem in your house. You're not going to have any problems finding examples. I'm talking about, anger and violence inside of your house. Okay, you know that one. And then keep close check on your children's viewing and playing habits, especially video games. Lo and behold, I was watching last night and we was watching that other team play football. And while they were playing football, they came up one of these man murder kill, movies is coming on. And my grandson said, "Man, I sure hope they come out real soon." I mean, it was blood to guts with all of them. You know what? Our kids are getting so full of violence that when all of a sudden when something violent happens, they say, "Oh," and they relate it to a game and not the sanctity of life. You see how these things are coming together. And when they're 13 and older, excuse me, help your children to understand the issues of abortion and euthanasia. Do you know what euthanasia means? Euthanasia means killing the elderly. And you see, there are those in which they are making decisions just to let the elderly die rather than giving them supportive life because they say they don't have the quality of life to live, so you just take life away. Euthanasia, it is a for real issue. We need to teach our children to understand the sanctity of life. Help them to find outlets for expressing Christian views on issues. Perhaps taking them to a pro-life rally, writing letters. Explain to them the difference between the sixth commandment and the issue of capital punishment. Encourage teenagers to develop a strong sense of what is right and wrong. Listen, folks, you need to do this. Build a wall to protect your children. Now, I'm taking you to Christmas. Next 5 minutes, I'm going to try to get you there. In Christmas time, I think about the joy and the feel-good feelings. You say, what does that have to do with murder? It has everything. Because we're talking about heaven. We're talking about paradise. We're talking about giving life. All right, finish the statement. There were three wise... That's what I knew you was going to say. That was set up. One dissenter, and you qualify today. Let me give you the three wise women. Now, you're absolutely correct in your answer. But let me give you the three wise women. Woman number one, her name is Mary. She's probably in her teens, maybe late teens that we don't know during that culture time. And all of a sudden, this angel comes along, and this angel says to her, you're going to have a child by the Holy Spirit. And you know what this young girl says? This young girl who is a virgin, this young girl says about her body, he says, be it so. Let me see if I can give you the exact words, what she said. In Luke 1:38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. First wise woman, teenage girl, who said, here's my life, Lord. Use it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Protect your body, soul, and spirit. Position yourself in such a way that God can say to you, yes, you're my little lady, and I want to use you. Go all out for God. That's what Mary did. Mary went all out and said, God, here I am. You use me however you want to. Because she learned something in the home. Childbirth is a gift from God. Let me state that again. Childbirth is a gift from God, so as prepared by God. So think about this. Are you living in the way if God calls you, you're ready to respond? Are you willing for God to use your body for His glory? Commit your youth. Let me say it again, young people. Commit your youth unto the Lord for His glory. First of three wise women was Mary. I'm carrying you to the other spectrum. The second wise woman is going to be that of a woman named Elizabeth. The Scripture says in Luke 1:18, Zechariah said to his wife, how shall I know? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. All of a sudden the angel comes to them and said, you're going to have a son. And we want you to name his name John. And John is going to be the one who's going to announce the way of Jesus. So what we're looking at here, and at the end of this, she turns loose after she sees Mary and the Holy Spirit fills her. And she says in Luke 1:40, she says, blessed art thou among women, talking about Mary. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence this is to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Here's the words I want you to capture. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her. Blessed. Listen, folks. When you're well advanced in age, put a blessing on the younger generation. Put a blessing there. Remember, you have responsibility in raising your children to perform the way that God has a plan for their life. Dads and moms are equally responsible for raising up their children because God has a plan for every child that is raised in your house. And advanced years is not a cop-out for compliance with performance. Because you are advanced in years, listen folks, God wants to use you. Amen, Dawn? All right. So as we go forth and we're advanced in years, God says, here I am. Use me for your honor, for your glory. So what's in your home? Is there a little bit of paradise? Is there a little bit of heaven in your home? And number three, the last one, the last three was Anna in her great age appointed people pointed people to the coming of the Lord and encouraged them to be saved. He teaches us when you are great in age, people are coming. People need to know about the coming of the Lord and the salvation of souls. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now, what is the point? The point is, if you are in great age, give honor to God in prayers and in fasting. And so therefore, if you are in great age, let me give you what she said in Luke 2:38. And it's talking about when Jesus Christ, when He came, when He was to be circumcised, when He came to the temple on that eighth day after His birth, Anna, this old woman of great age, was there. And she saw Him. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to Him, to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What did this do? This woman of great age gave thanks to the Lord. And what did she do? She pointed to the redemption of Israel, to the coming of the Lord. So love your spouse while you can. For this woman, she was married 7 years. And then he died. And she spent the rest of her life in prayer, in fasting, in worshiping. Love your family because they're God's gift to you. Love God because He is the answer to all your needs. Look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for the Redeemer. He's living. And God is coming. Live every day. If your spouse is taken away today, live for the coming of the Lord. Be prepared. Point people to the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming. And do what Anna did. She blessed the people and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that God is coming, and I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I believe that Jesus Christ is alive and living today. Live for Him with every ounce of your being. Live for Jesus. If you're a young teenage girl, keep your body pure and keep your mind straight to live. If you're a woman who is advanced in age, use everything that you've got in your power to bless the younger women and the younger people in your household. If you're a one of great age, point people to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is coming. And if you do, you will live. And if you don't, it's evil. If you do, you'll have lived your life for Christ. If you don't, your life will be in reverse, being led by the devil. Today, in the home, build a wall and bless the home. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, our homes need protection. And Father, as we are in this Christmas season, thank You for these three wise women who will encourage the younger women to live for Christ and to know what's important and to be a blessing and to bless and to turn all of our eyes for the redemption of Israel, the redemption, the second coming of Christ. Lord, we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we share together for a moment in a time of invitation, let us think about great life. Isn't it a blessing to hear babies cry? I mean, you know, thank You for letting us have that blessing, because that's what it's all about. It's the children. Thank You so much. That helps us be mindful of the future. And as that baby cries out, let us cry out to Jesus. Today, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ? Today, would you like to pray for your home? Today, would you like to line up with one of those wise women, whether you're a teenager, whether you're great in age, or whether you're a great old age? Today, you can make that commitment and that love to Him. Let's stand together and sing as people make commitments.